Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, November 12th, 2024. As always, I am happy to be with you today. I just had a fun time doing the second half of CA's show with Mark Husson. And we just had a little glitch at the end and dropped off before we could say thank you for joining us on CA's show. So I just want to say that if you're remaining in the chat room or you're listening further to my show. And I just want to address something really quick. Judith in the chat room, we were talking, Mark asked me about house healings. And she said, could there be like unfinished business that hangs around in a house? And yes, the answer is yes. And the walls and surfaces, emotion, feelings stick. They stick. Stuart Wilde would say, the walls are records of the emotions of every person who's ever been in that room. So yes, they do stick. And the purpose of doing a healing is to release that energy, create a blank slate, and then bring in the vibrations of what you want to experience. And they're really, you can walk out your door and walk back in and it feels like a different place. And I mean that sincerely. I've done these for, gosh, almost 20 years now. And in fact, that was the last class in my You Empowered second series. We did it. I taught my students how to do it last week. But they work. And you set your space, you set your home. I've had people walk in my home and go, wow, this feels really nice. Somebody I've never seen in my life. So there's a lot of stuff that just sticks. And that can be very, very distracting. Your home is your sanctuary. That's what it should be. And so anything that is hanging around in there that distracts you from that doesn't belong. It just doesn't belong. I mean, whatever happened 2 minutes ago is dead, gone, and over. So there should be no residue, you know? But anyway, I just wanted to address that and answer that question live because we don't think of it that way. But, you know, that's also another really important thing for people who do body work or who see clients in an office or in your home to ground the furniture, to send healing energy through the furniture. Because if it's your business, number one, you want to keep it fresh and clean because the atmosphere has to support you in order to do your best work. And when you clear the furniture, like in a waiting room or something, it makes space for new people to come in. So it's just very, it's a great circle. It's a great circle of positive. So I just wanted to address that really quickly. It was wonderful to listen to Peggy. She's just incredible on the first half of CA's show that Mark hosted. And Mark is just a fantastic interviewer. You know, I've been on 1-2 Radio since December of 2009. And one thing I know about myself is that I'm a teacher and I am not an interviewer. And I have so much respect for Mark and for Jay, who's also a brilliant interviewer, and people that are really great at that. They have all my respect because it is a talent that I don't possess. So, you know, I teach and when I have CA on with me, I throw out a topic and we take it and run. And that's what really we're going to do today. Jay's going to join me in just a few minutes. We're just going to have a discussion and see how it unfolds. So if you want to be part of it, please join us in the chat room. Go to 12radio.com and click chat. If you would, today is 1-2 day, meaning we have random reduced rates. Every advisor's rates are different and they change all through the day. And it's a really fun time. It's a fun energy on 1-2, listen. I will be on probably around 12 Pacific after this show and after some lunch and a couple things that I need to do. And then I'll be on into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me or if I'm on a call, put in a callback request or schedule a call and I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And I am on 1-2 listen every day, typically mid to later morning into the evening. So I would love to work with you. And today's a good day to check us out if you've never done that before. not only our calls and chats on very, very reduced rates, but time-based sessions and other services are as well. And you can find on 1-2 Listen, my 1-2 day replenish 15-minute time-based session at a super rate. And that's just for today. So, yeah. And I just want to remind you that we have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week. And if you want to be notified of that, just go to 1-2 Listen, sign up for 1-2 Promotions, which means you just leave your email address. And then you don't miss out on anything. And as always, I want to remind you of the gratitude board. This is November. Gratitude's bigger, more in our face in November because of Thanksgiving if you're here in the States. And, you know, gratitude is a beautiful and graceful vibration. The more you're grateful for, the more you have to be grateful for. And that doesn't necessarily mean that a boatload of blessings fall in your lap, but you notice things that are lovely that you are grateful for. That's what gratitude does. It expands your head. It expands what you notice. And as Florence Scovel Shinn says, we combine with what we notice. Focus and attention expands what it is focused on. So the more you focus on good, the more good you're going to have in your life, period. That's just law. That's just energetic law. So I just want to thank you again for listening, however and whenever you do. I'm a little out of sync right now, having just been on the radio with Mark. I should have just kind of let that energy go and reground, which I just did in 2 seconds. So now I'm back. But thank you for listening to 1-2 Radio. There are archives of all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section at 1-2radio.com. And I want to say thank you to Jay for producing my show today and for being my guest today. And it'll be a good discussion. And I'm very happy to have Jay Barbell with me today. He hosts my show when I'm out of town or something else is going on for me. And he and I just have a good communication, and I love talking to him. We usually chat for a bit after my show, so it'll be fun to have some time just to really talk today. Jay is a 1-2 Listen advisor. He hosts Psychic Playground at 4 p.m. Pacific on Wednesdays and co-hosts Backstage Pass with Raven McMinn at 9 a.m. Pacific on Thursdays. He's just a wonderful producer and takes such good care of us on 1-2 Radio. I really, really appreciate him and all that he does. So last week, I was running late, running out of time on my show. And I usually don't do that. I usually stop like right at 5 minutes to the hour. But there was something that I wanted to say because I was very, very excited about it. And it was a quote from Reverend Ike. And I didn't get to do it justice. So I'm going to talk about it today. And the quote, what he said was, he was referencing Moses and going to Pharaoh and getting the Israelites out of Egypt. And God said to Moses, I've made you a god to Pharaoh. You go and I've got the verse that I will share with you completely, Exodus 7:1, in just a few minutes. But what he was saying was, he said, we can take that, and the quote from Reverend Ike was, I've made you a god to everything that afflicts you, meaning right here, right now. And that is so, it was just powerful. It hit me. It resonated. And I couldn't get into it, and I should have waited just for this show to start it. But it's very empowering, and I think it will make for a good conversation, or at least the beginning of one. So I just want to lay a foundation for what he said. Each one of us is the individualization of Source, not a piece, not a part of Source, but all of Source. I and my Father are one. All that God is, I am, right here and right now. God is. There's no one outside. God fills all space. There's no one outside of God's grace. No one, no living thing, nothing. God is life, consciousness, being, the Tao, Brahman, the divine ground, the universe, all that is. Therefore, we are, we live, move, and have our being in Source. And Source lives, moves, and has its being in and as us. It's a reciprocal relationship, as Thomas Troward would say. U.S. Anderson put it so powerfully when he wrote, infinite, eternal, only one and never changing, that to which all things are known and in which every physical object has its being. This is God, and all of God is in us this moment, right now, and all the moments to come. And that's from Three Magic Words. There is one mind, one consciousness in which we all live, move, and have our being. Consciousness is cause, and we live only what we believe. Everything that appears to be outside of us, including our physical body, is an effect of our consciousness or our belief manifested in the material. Neville wrote, consciousness is the resurrecting power, resurrecting that which man is conscious of being. Man is ever outpicturing that which he is conscious of being. This is the truth that makes man free, for man is always self-imprisoned or self-freed. That's powerful. So, if God is consciousness and is individualized as us, and we live what we believe, then we are God to our circumstances. We can't be anything else, because we are creating our circumstances with what we believe, good, bad, or indifferent. And so we are to our circumstances and to everything in our lives because we are using that power, if you consider it power, which it is, but it is simply, it's not power over anything. It is consciousness or thought. We're doing it in every moment that we live. Every single moment, and we can consciously change what we're thinking about. You know, if something's bugging us and we're going down the rabbit hole, who's suffering? We are. We are. If we're angry with someone, if someone's done something and we're having those constant inner conversations, who's suffering? We are. We're taking ourselves out of the present moment, which is the only thing we have, and which is filled with infinite possibility, and we're stuck in, as Deepak Chopra put it, the prison of past conditioning. We're stuck in a belief, we're stuck in a rule, we're stuck in a being offended, or we're stuck in whatever it is we're stuck in, we're stuck. But we can change that if we choose to focus on something that feels good. Because really and truly, Source, the universe, the Tao, is good. Whatever doesn't feel good is not us, it's error. And, you know, we're human, we're in a human incarnation, we're navigating the psychic sea, which is the thoughts, the beliefs, and the emotions of every person who's ever been in the earth plane. We are. But at the same time, in every moment, we have the power to choose. To choose a different thought, to focus on something else, to go walk away and put on some great music and dance around, go read something inspiring, go work in the garden, go do something. Choose to walk away from that, because the thing about attention and focus, it expands what it's focused on and it diminishes what it's taken away from. So we rule. You know, we are master and commander. We are supreme in our own universe, the center of our world, our universe. But I want to clarify something. The only thing that we have authority to change is ourselves. Ourselves, our space. Our space consists of our chakras, our energy, our chakras, our aura, and our bodies. That's it. That's all we are responsible for, and that is all that we can change. So if we don't like what our beliefs have created, we can change them. But we have no permission ever to attempt to change anyone other than ourselves, because that's infringement. You know, when we have children, when they are young children, We do our best to keep them alive, to teach them, to help them. And we do have to tell them what to do. We do. That's our job. And then help them to grow into powerful beings in this world. But know that they didn't, that they and nobody else got cheated on the God factor. Every person on this earth is the individualization of Source. If they know it or don't know it, that is the truth of it. Nobody got cheated. And, you know, so with children, that's a different story. Up until they're, you know, they're old enough to take care of themselves. And we want to be a positive influence and we want to be supportive and loving. But there also comes a time when you can't hold their feet off the ground and keep them safe. Because this life is about falling down. We're in a physical incarnation. It's about falling down, skinning our knees, and knowing that there is a power inside of us that we can depend on to lift us up that is never going to leave. You know, parents, kids go away. Kids, they don't go away, but they go away at school. They go to live their own lives. And so, you know, parents aren't always there to help, and they shouldn't be. You know, I mean, support, love, always. I exalt God in the midst of you. I exalt God in the midst of me. Prayers, you know, meditations, holding everybody up, sending love out to every single person in the world. That we can do. That's not infringement. But trying to tell somebody what to do, trying to keep them from falling off a cliff, you know, it is. Everybody's here in their own individual evolution, and wherever they are is perfect for them. No one is in the same space. No one. We're all individuals. But again, we all have within us what we need to be powerful and successful and loving human beings. So, you know, jumping in to tell somebody what to do is just not, it doesn't work. I mean, it typically just doesn't work. So we only have us to change, to fix. It's all an inside job. But when we change ourselves, our world changes because we attract what we are, our self-concept, proving that we really, truly are God to every aspect of our lives. Again, good, bad, or indifferent. Reverend Dyke said that when read esoterically, every person and everything in the Bible is you. He said that wherever you see the word man, you can substitute the word mind. As in, when Jesus walked up to the lame man at the Pool of Bethesda, who'd been there 38 years, and the Pool of Bethesda, an angel would come down periodically and spin the waters, stir the waters. And when the waters were stirred, whoever jumped in the pool was healed of whatever malady. So there were all kinds of people there. And the man had been there 38 years and couldn't get into the pool. And Jesus walked up to him because he knew he'd been there a long time and said, "Will you be made whole?" And the lame man said, "Yes, but when the angel comes and stirs the water, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool," which is, you know, the mind going, "Yeah, but I don't know how to do that," and blah, 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 right? And Jesus didn't say anything other than, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And the man did. So that's an interesting thing that, you know, we have so many preconceived ideas. We have so many excuses for why we can't. Yeah, but this, yeah, but that, yeah, but, you know, rise, take up your bed and walk. Change your thought, change your idea. Focus on what you want, not what you don't. Neville said that the Bible is the greatest scientific book ever written. Instead of looking upon the Bible as the historical record of an ancient civilization or the biography of the unusual life of Jesus, see it as a great psychological drama taking place in the consciousness of man. In the video I was watching of Reverend Dykes, Reverend Dykes said, "When God sent Moses to Egypt, he told him, 'I've made you God to Pharaoh.' And Moses went and freed the Israelites." Well, the verse Exodus 7:1 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'See, I have made thee a God unto Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. So, going back to the esoteric principle, that everyone and everything in the Bible is you, here's my take on that story. So Pharaoh was holding the children of Israel in bondage or slavery. What in your life do you believe is holding you back from your freedom? Your freedom as the individualization of source. Whatever you feel is holding you back, is keeping you stuck, is your Pharaoh. And the Lord said, I've made thee a God to Pharaoh. That's a powerful statement. Reverend Ike went on to say, you can take that statement and use it in your own life, however you want to. You've created your world through your beliefs. But the God in you makes you God to everything that afflicts you in any way. I have made you God to your circumstances. Of course, because we've created our circumstances. I mean, it's all about responsibility. Responsibility equals freedom. Take responsibility for what is. You say, man, this is a mess, and I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know. But that which lives me, that the infinite God mind that lives me does. And I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for what I need to do, for what needs to happen to it. It is the governing, maintaining, sustaining, and discerning principle of my life. So you can change anything by changing your beliefs. In fact, that's the only way you can change anything. Life comes as it will. You know, it's just neutral. It's just life. But we suffer when we want it to be different than it is. We are the only cause of our own suffering. Pain happens, but suffering is a choice. And we're the only ones who can alleviate it. And now I want to welcome Jay and get his thoughts on all of that or anything else. So Jay, thanks for being with me today. What do you think?
Hi, Kelly. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely.
It's so great to be here with you. And you always lead such an inspiring discussion and teaching segment. And this is no less than amazing, as you always lay it down.
Thank you.
And it's just having me think, I'm going back to one thing you said about we're not, because I would feel that we were an aspect, like our individualization made us an aspect of God. But I liked the way that you said, I think what Joel Goldsmith said, in the sense of, no, it's we are the totality of God. But like the way I heard you say it was like in our own individualized way, but that doesn't mean I'm a part of it. I'm still the whole it, only all in my own fashion, yeah. So to speak.
Yeah, because it can't be divided. Mm. It's source. It's one. It's all. It cannot be divided. It's just individualized as every person. But all of it is right here, right now, in you, in me, in every one of us.
Well, I can tell you to your point about that, I have like strange proof of that. And that was when I was held up at gunpoint. It was very shocking. I even said out loud, like, is this really happening? And the guy that was holding me up, he said yes, and he cocked the gun and had it pointed at my face. So I was like, yeah, this is really happening. And I said to myself, is this when I'm going to have my angel superpowers? And I heard an immediate no. But it was just, I just felt be calm. And I just stood there. I followed all of his instructions. And there was a couple moments where I like thought, oh, I could take him. But I'm like, he's the one with a gun. So I'm like, yeah, that's stupid.
Not a good choice.
Yeah. So I was just like, I just followed his instructions. He took my over-the-shoulder bag, my phone. And then he told me to turn around and start walking the other way. And he took off running and jumped in a car. And my safety bubble was totally burst. I had to, that took me some time to get over. But I learned in that was my safety is not in this world. My safety is in my knowing about my connection and to what you were just talking about, that God is in me, God is in him. So it's like, if this is my time, well, then it's my time. And it's not an accident because God's in both of us. But if, if I meant to get through this and I felt like I was, that God's not going to let him shoot me either, because God's in him, even if he doesn't know it that way. But I know based on the way I see it, that's the way it is. And so I can put my faith in that, not in him, but in the God that is running all of this, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's great. That, yeah, absolutely makes sense. Well, and in that situation too, it's like, that's kind of an example of, it's not kind of, it's an example of the peace that passes understanding, right? I mean, right here, right now, I should just be a puddle on the floor. You know, I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out. And then something just comes in and just, it's like this wave of, it's all right, and it's going to be all right. No matter what, it's going to be all right, because we're eternal. We're eternal. We don't, life has no end or opposite, and that's us.
Well, and to your point about that, when I asked, you know, am I going to have my angel superpowers? I don't even know what I thought that meant at the time. It just felt like I needed something extra. And but to your point, that was what it was. You know, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but it still happened. And so I think that's part of it too. We have to, like, you talk a lot about surrendering, getting out of our way, giving it to God. And I feel like, again, this is another kind of upside down example for it, extreme, but regardless, it's still, like, important, because our mind is going to always give us what it thinks is the way it's supposed to go, or how it should be, or, like, you know, how that person should be, or how I should be, versus just how the heck it's going to go, and just being a part of, like, the organic flow of it versus trying to control it in one way, shape, or form or another.
Or figure it out. Yeah. And when we try and do that, it's like, it just takes us out of it. You know, it takes us out of the present moment where the answer is, because we're trying to get a jump on it, so to speak. Or figure things out. Yeah. But we have, you know, we're human. We have to do that. And we don't, you know, the human part of us, humanhood, as Joel Goldsmith would say, is just a sense of separation from God. You know, it thinks that God is outside of us, and that it has to struggle through and figure things out and make things work. And that just, struggle begets struggle. It just does.
Yeah. No, and I have learned that the hard way too, because I swear I've had to really do a lot of work on my brain and the programming that was sort of in you know, given to me, modeled to me, was very counter to what I believe now or how I see things. Or it was just sort of like one little piece of the pie, and now I see the whole pie. Excuse me. And so that has taken a long time, though, for me to, like, in essence, like, dismantle the part of my brain that was sort of programmed to just autopilot, be a certain way, to then work that muscle and control it, not from a control sense, but in a sense of, no longer is this autopilot going to control me, kind of a thing. And that's really been huge. But it's like that has taken me decades. Sure. And I swear, when I first started that, I was like, it didn't feel like it was going to take that long, and I thought it was going to be much quicker. And I even felt like my guidance was, like, even in that regard. But then I look back at it, and I just can see where, again, I was trying to fast forward my way through it, or I thought I knew how it was going to go, or I decided, you know, how it was going to be, and I was holding to that and thinking that my guidance was also confirming that, but that was my own impression that I wanted to add, not necessarily what the guidance was. But all that to say, it all worked out because I'm here. You know, it got me through. It's kind of a weird space when you are in that in between reactionary, you know, being very reactionary versus being able to be the observer and respond. That in between is a lot, you know, especially if you're run by your thoughts and feelings. And I was totally run by my thoughts and feelings.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that, you know, we're eternal beings, right? So, and we're constantly evolving. So God always meets us where we are, no matter where that is. And then we can work on that. And then we can, let that go. We get past it, and then, but we're eternal beings. And in my education, we were taught that, our chakras are the record keepers of our eternal beingness. So that human consciousness that we navigate through now is a part of us from past lifetimes. And so beliefs that we have carried with us are programs, what we called programs. And those are typically beliefs that we take on in childhood from people in authority over us. But we can be cruising along just great, and something will cause just a panic to shoot through our system. We might be doing just fine financially, and all of a sudden you have this thought or feeling about, oh my gosh, I might be living under a bridge, which is absolutely ridiculous, and not even, and certainly not in present time, but that feeling is real. That really is an emotion that shoots through you and can just knock you off track. So there's a lot more when you're going through a process like that than what you know.
It's so
Because,
true. Oh my gosh.
yeah, and the people that we encounter, the people that we work with, or just that we encounter, there's it too, it's a no mistakes universe. So whoever we're dealing with, there's a spirit to spirit agreement. For it could be for 3 seconds when somebody holds a door open for you, but there's still an agreement that they held the door open for you and you walked in and said thanks or whatever. But they are also, aspects of us because we're all one. So when we're working with someone and something is coming up, or it's a family member or whatever, that also pulls out deeper stuff from us. This is my truth from my work that I do. It brings it forward, but it always is brought forward to be looked at and released. Because again, if it doesn't feel good, if it strikes fear and terror in your heart, it's error. It's not something that you need to hold on to and figure out. It's something you need to get rid of because it's not you, and it's taking up space in your space. So that's also an interesting thing to think about, to think in terms of you're talking to someone, you have an agreement, and something's coming up for your benefit to release, even though it doesn't feel good. I said that kind of awkwardly. Did that make sense?
It does. It's like it makes perfect sense, and it's the kind of thing, like, again, I wanted to believe my mind was telling me the whole story, or I could see the whole picture. And what I've learned through experience, and what I hear and what you're saying, is there are all these mechanisms and other things going on beneath the surface and in other realms that our brain has no understanding of. And it doesn't need to. It's outside of its awareness, and that's okay. But it is part of the process, and it is still like happening. And that's the part of where we got to get out of our way, because if we try to decide how it's going to be, we're going to be influencing it in a way that isn't going to necessarily be helpful to us, versus allowing God, the universe, the circumstances, the flow, to do what it will. So that way, we're able to ride with it, but in a co-creative way, and where we're learning something, or we're having some kind of experience, but we're fully present in it.
Well, and it's also, when we think it should be a certain way, we're just blocking the flow of information, of source, of spirit that knows the perfect outcome, the perfect thing for us that we couldn't possibly know. So, I always think about that. It's like, oh, wait, wait a minute. I don't know. Which is why I don't know, or my three magic words. I don't know what's best for me. I don't know what's best for this conversation. I don't know. So I just get out of the way. And Joel Goldsmith, God is only glorified in our success. And I've come to realize that a great deal of my success is in getting out of the way and letting whatever come through that it is supposed to come through, no matter what situation, no matter what circumstance. Getting out of the way is when I'm successful, because then I'm provided for, what I need shows up. And I mean, it just does. So, I don't know. That's it.
I feel like that's where, like, working that muscle is the muscle to really work, because things really can happen and do when we can get out of the way and really roll with it. And like the 1-2 frog has really got me today. But when we can really be present and not be like in the future, in the past, or up in our head, or wherever we can go, but really present to what's happening, and we're also not trying to control it, we've surrendered to our higher power, and we're listening. You know, it's a, like I'm listening to what's the next best step for me, and then going to do it. And then, okay, what's the next best step for me? And going to do it. And it's like, that's so hard for the part of our brain that wants to think 20 to 30 steps out. But it's like, there's a part of us that's doing that. We don't need to be conscious of it. It's more, how can I be very present and so focused that that's being taken care of in the process? It's like, it's like a kind of counterintuitive the way our brain, our mental brain wants us to think it is. It's like this, the incorporating our intuition and the unseen and this metaphysical part. It's like, once you understand how it works and you can see how it works, then it like kind of takes some of the edge off, I feel. But like, if you're just getting started, it can just still seem so backwards and upside down that part is hard to get over at first. But
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
it's like we have to keep pushing through.
Well, yeah, it absolutely. Well, and it's one of a thing that works for me is when I'm out ahead of myself or trying to do 10 things at one time, it's like, in this moment, what am I called to do? In this moment, what am I called to do? And your intuition will tell you, or you just look at what is priority? What needs to be done in this moment? Because if you're moving around the priority, it's like a weight on my back. It's like a weight on my head. I can't move around and do this with this sitting here. Jumping down with it, jumping up and down with its hair on fire. I mean, and not that it's anything that big. It's just, this is what I need to do now. You do that, and then all of a sudden, the next thing I'm called to do shows up, and then you're in flow. You're just in flow. And when you were saying it's hard when you're just getting started to do that, it is, because the other thing that it requires, and I think we have to, build this is trust.
Yes,
Just
yes.
trust.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I mean, because that's the thing. The associative mind comes in and goes, well, the last time this happened, do you remember?
Right,
which
exactly.
is
Let me,
ego,
yeah.
which is ego. And it didn't turn out well. And, don't go back there again. And fear, 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 danger, danger. But that's not true. That's the past. It's dead, gone, over. It has no nothing. It's something we drag with us. And we think that we are who we are now because of our past, but we're not.
I mean,
We're not.
I saw that so visually right now in a way that I've never seen that before, but how we really do carry things around, and it's just like, yeah, totally on by our choice that we're doing it, consciously or unconsciously. It's like we really don't need to walk around with that. It's like kind of like when in the old court cartoons where the hobo would be have his little stick and he'd have his little bundle of whatever he was carrying hanging off the back. I don't know if you remember I don't even know what cartoon, I guess Popeye, maybe that might have been
No, but I
Popeye.
can see it. Yeah.
And so it's like we, in essence, are doing that with ourself, with all of our like the stuff we don't have closure on, the stuff that we haven't made peace with. And it's all just like, yeah, right back there. We're just like hanging. It's not even a part of us, but yet, we very much are carrying it. And it's like all we have to do is just put it down. And it's like we don't even realize all we have to do is put it down. That it can be so easy. What's complicated is what we have to put down are the complicated feelings and emotions and the complicated relationships. And like you said, the things that might not have gone well or that right. or went horrible, you know, worse. So it's like those are the things that are hard to drop off. But in essence, that's what we have to work out doing. Oh, you know, and yeah. not that we have to do it all at once. It's not like we need to
lay
the whole bundle down. It's like usually it comes off in layers. So
yeah. Well, and I think realizing that whatever happened with someone else or whatever we did that we, you know, still can't forgive ourselves for or feel guilty or whatever we feel, that person that we were then and that other person are dead and have been dead a long time. And if it comes to forgiving yourself, I love what Joel Goldsmith said. He said, just ask yourself right now where you are in your evolution, if you would do that again. Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, you've evolved past it. You're forgiven. Let it go.
Mm.
I love that.
I really love that too.
Yeah. And even U.S. Anderson said that, you know, we make mistakes on our way to where we're going. We make mistakes. We're human. And he said, choose to only pay for that mistake once and get going. Just keep moving. Because really they're like distractions. Yeah.
Well, because I was just watching a show. Oh, boy. It's on Netflix. I can't think of the show right now. All right. I'll have to put it in the comments later. But it's this nurse practitioner who moved from LA up to a Northern California town. And it's like her transition into this more rural lifestyle. And there's this one wife of a doctor, and they'd been together a long time, and the husband cheated 20 years ago, and they separated, but never separated. And then he had wanted to get a divorce back then because she wanted it, but then it didn't happen. And then 20 years later, she's wanting the divorce now. But really she just wants like to get closure, to like get beyond it. But it's like her character is so jaded, so bitter, so just like all kinds of things that you can see where it keeps getting in her way, not even in her relationship with him, but other relationships with the people in town, and where that like the bitterness just keeps coming out. And even though a lot of times she's being very truthful, it's still though like out of phase with like where it's very hurtful, where it's more coming across as nasty. So yes, it may be truthful, and she would like kind of give herself like the pass because this is, I'm just being honest, but it's like, yeah, but you're being honest, but you're dropping a bomb with your honesty. It's not necessarily being honest with the, like, I don't know if I'm getting the nuance, but there's like a sense where there's a, not a productivity, but like where it's, where we're doing something without honesty. It's not just dropping off a truth bomb to like ruin someone's day or wreck their, you know, shatter their universe. It's like doing that with purpose. And I feel like she was doing it like with like a, let me fuck up your day kind of a thing versus where it could be used in a whole different kind of way. But my point is that was that her character was really standing out to me. It's like, that's what bitterness looks like when we keep doing it. And to the other comment that you said, where we don't just let ourselves be forgiven after paying the price once, like she's trying to rake her husband over the coals over and over and over again. And it's like wanting this endless apology or like this endless way for it to be like that wrong to be righted. But the real thing is that wrong can't really be righted that way. And like, what is going to be the thing that's actually going to get that job done? Is there anything that could be said or done, really? Or is it just going to be, you know, just going to go another 20 years? So those are the things that we can control that I don't think we realize that we can sometimes when we're in the heat of the moment.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, again, thinking about if there's somebody that we forgive for us, not for the other person, because we're the ones through unforgiveness, she's the one that's suffering. Totally. And she's just stoking the fire of that suffering because she feels justified in it. And even justification is like a steel trap, right? I mean, it doesn't change. Nothing can change the past. Nothing can change what happened because the past doesn't exist anymore. And again, the two people that did that 20 years ago don't exist either. We've evolved, we've changed. And who we are now, we just drag in that shit around with us. Takes us off our purpose. It dilutes who we are right now and the good that we can do in this moment, in this life, for ourselves and for other people. And, forgive, as I said, forgiveness is only for us. It's only for us. It doesn't do a thing for that other person. It doesn't matter. It's like those inner conversations. We have those inner conversations going and we just, man, I should have said that. I should have said that. I should have said that. Does that do anything for that person? Does that change their mind? No, but we're caught in a trap. We're suffering because we can't let something go. And the minute we decide to let it go, it may take time because some things get you, and it takes a while to get past it. But you love yourself through having a difficult time getting past it. But you focus on other things. You focus on something else that you want to be taking up space and in your head.
Definitely. Oh my gosh. It's the hard work, but it's so worth it. And when you realize that when we don't have to just go with the obsessive part of us, like the way I see it is like we wrangle, like I've had to wrangle that part of myself. But in doing that, I realize, oh my God, like there's so much calm in my mind because that was the part of me that was like, but the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, or the what ifs and the all the, all the questions that can, have just circles, just have us going in circles and spin. I feel like it all for me is generated from that very obsessed part of me, and the part of me that needs to be right, like the part of me that knows I'm right and needs to be right. But then it's like I go back to that character, and I feel like I must be seeing something in me and her in the sense of what, like how important it has been for me to let go of things, and how it's important for me to continue that work and understanding, because it does me no good, it does nobody any good for me to, carry that monkey on my back. Because again, it's me and me in that case. I'm not even really involving that other person. It's usually just me in a circle with me
I
in
know.
those cases. Like,
I know what
sorry.
you're saying.
So that's the part where the more I've been able to see that and also be kind and compassionate to myself and like be my own cheerleader in that, that's been the thing that's helped me. Even though my brain, of course, wants to do it a different way, but those are the things that work. And listening to you and where you come from with the people that you read and study from, like I feel like it is very helpful because it's like inputting good, high vibe programs into my brain all the time.
Oh, good.
To replace the warped, distorted parts of my brain that are still in there.
Oh, absolutely. And me too. It's like, okay, what can I cook up on Audible? What can I put on YouTube, and listen to? Because that's just it. I mean, we have to choose to focus on what's good, what's empowering, what lifts us up. And that it is just, it keeps me up. As Abraham said, you got to keep your own cork afloat. And that keeps my cork afloat. And they just, it's like, oh, yeah. When something is said, when I read something or they say something and you go, it just resonates. It flies through your being and it's this little piece of grace, of love, of actual peace. It's just worth its weight in gold. And you just want to keep holding on to that. And the only way to do it is to focus on what's inspiring.
I mean, even that feels good. And I used to be waiting for things, like versus like understanding, well, I don't have to wait for the inspiration to come. I can create that. I can move towards it. And that's the part I've had to really learn, that because God didn't come down necessarily and inspire me like you would see in a TV show or a movie. It doesn't mean that it didn't happen, but part of that again is me getting out of my way of what I think that means or what I think that looks like, and
yes,
just go with what is, we know how it is going, and see yes. what happens with that.
Well, and just one more thing, because I know we need to end it, you know, to just go and sit quietly in your own head, in your own inner sanctuary, and listen. You know, just listen physically with your physical ears to what's going on around, not naming what it is, just listening. It gets you out of your mind and it gets you into the present moment. And if you can do it for 2 or 3 minutes and you can't hold it any longer, it's a healing. It just brings you here and you feel that peace, you know, that peace that passes understanding. You feel like you're just kind of sitting in the arms of God. And everything's okay in unconditional love. And it's just, and that's a great way to do it rather than trying to fight your thoughts to get quiet, because they're just going to come. But to get out of your mind and your thinking mind and just sit and listen to what's going on and what, as Alan Watts would say, what's coming at you, because you can only hear in the present moment. You can only see in the present moment. And those are things that are coming at you. You're not seeking them. They're coming to you. And just pay attention to that. And that is like, that's a revitalizer. If you do it for a minute, it's a revitalizer. But it helps to just get out of your head.
Totally. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a great point, because sometimes I hear, oh, I need to get a meditation practice going. I need to, you know, meditate for 20 minutes or an hour. Mm-mm. It's like, no, mm-mm. You don't. It's
don't
like,
do that to yourself.
don't do that to yourself. You'll make yourself nuts. But mm-hmm. work up to it if you want to. There's nothing wrong with getting yourself to that place. But
right.
5 minutes, doing that consistently, like you said, can do everything. And then once you learn that space, 1 minute, 30 seconds, just dropping in, once you know how to drop in, what that uh-huh. feels like, once you can do it, it's like it really can reset everything. You just did that with Mark on the radio, I feel like. Or maybe at the beginning of your show, you uh-huh. did a quick reset, and it was like you did it while you were on the radio. Like, it doesn't yep. have to be a whole production, nope. but it sometimes may feel like that when you're first getting to know what it feels like and how yeah. to kind of get yourself into that space, though that can be a little bit of a process. But once you are there, it's like riding a bike. You just go get on the bike. You don't think much about it. In the same yeah. way, you'll be able to drop in that space and you won't have to think much about it.
Yeah. And it's just persistence. It's just, you know, doing it. And then when you do find that space and you can maintain it, that's fun. You know, that's just heaven to just sit there and just be fed and loved.
It is, and I just realized it's like we have 30 seconds
we're
left.
Late. Yeah, we're okay. Late. Okay. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. You've been listening to Empowerment. And obviously, we like to talk to each other. I'm Kelly Whetstone. My guest today has been Jay Varbell. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you relate to the world. Changing the way that you relate to the world. Listen to the world. That's it. Sorry. It's obviously time to go. So thanks, everyone. Have a very, very blessed week.
Bye, everybody.